Okay, before we start, I'd like to welcome everyone here today, and I hope everyone can hear me clearly. I would ask that whenever anyone is speaking into the speakers, they actually switch to the light thread and they actually pull the speaker towards them, because it is quite hard to hear. Okay, so that's to make sure everyone can hear that. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile devices are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please, as I said before, please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking, and members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Remind councillors of their obligation under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If any such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to and declare an interest. Members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay. Any apologies, folks?
Chair, can I declare an interest in the notice of motion by Councillor Devlin?
Okay. Okay. So, Councillor Sharvin and Councillor Bailey. Councillor Larkin. Okay. Just wanted this time welcome Oksana. Oksana? Sorry, in case I said that wrong. To her first meeting tonight. So, you're very welcome. Okay. Okay, so we have a number of chairman remarks. And first and foremost, I feel that as a council on the 21st of April, one of our colleagues and staff members of the council, Heather Kelly, passed away. Heather worked in Greenbank for quite a significant period of time. I think it was 11 to 12 years. Heather worked with one of the teams down there, but the odd time would have covered reception in Greenbank. And because of the such an outpouring of grief from the staff, and it was very emotional, and the staff have been dealing with it very well, I honestly believe that tonight, and I would wish everyone to join me in a minute's silence to remember Heather Kelly. Thank you. Thank you, folks. I also wish to pass condolences with regard to Dan Rooney, who was the US Ambassador to Ireland and had connections to Newry and also to the SRC with the Rooney Fellowship. Conor Morgan as well, as a result of an accident. He was from Kilcoo and he was buried last Friday. His accident was in Scotland. Conor O'Hare was from Downpatrick and he died as a result of an accident as well. So again, tragic news has reached our district. We also need to, at this time, pass our condolences on to Cadogan on the death of and the passing of his mother, Mrs. Enright, just recently. On a brighter note, then, we have, at the weekend, I attended a really fantastic international shooting competition award ceremony where we had French, Italian, German, Denmark, England, Scotland, Wales. It was absolutely fantastic. They all had great praise for our district and for our area. And in fact, there wasn't a bed night anywhere in the region of Kilcoo over the weekend, or Kilcoo over the weekend. So it was really, really well supported. There was over 125 people at it, so it was excellent. In addition to that, we have the our infamous now member staff, a part-time lifeguard, and for us, very unassuming girl from our district, from Kilcoo, in fact, Laura Graham, who was the winner yesterday of the Belfast Marathon and has made a PB. So She did it in 2 hours 41 and 30 something seconds. Absolutely fantastic for her, Laura. Such an unassuming girl. She's a mum of four kids. She only started running 3 years ago, so she's done exceptionally well. So we'll be talking to Laura again in due course. So okay, so declarations of interest. I think we've had a few there. Any more? No? Okay. Item 3, action sheet arising from the council meeting on the 3rd of April 2017. Okay, do you want to take that?
Chairman, I can most of the actions are all the actions have been actioned, I suppose. There's just I think two pieces of correspondence come out tonight, one regarding the Daisy Hill Hospital, which was brought up at the last meeting, and also a letter back from Planning Service regarding the fees in regards to places of worship. So again, they were uploaded tonight, Chairman, onto the agenda further on, Chairman, once we get up at that point in time.
Okay. Item 4, the minutes of the council meeting on the 3rd of April. So, for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Any wish to propose some seconds? Dermot and Robert. Matters arising, Terry?
In relation to the All Ireland Local Authority for Reform and Housing Planning Conference, so some of us from the council get attend. You know, like personally, I found it very interesting and more or less learned from it. So it was a very good conference in relation to learning what happened in the Republic of Ireland, you know, the way they do things with housing, local government, planning law. It was very
good. Thank you, Terry. Item 5. Any more matters arising? No. Item 5. The minutes of the special meeting, page 1, 2, 3. Proposed and seconded. Robert, seconded. Glenn. No matters arising. Okay. Item 6, matters arising, our minutes from the ERT from the 10th of April, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, proposed. There was, Gary and thing. Matters arising.
Chair, it's just an item regarding University of Ulster doing some research into council to promote the local economy. I'm just wondering if that's time based and when we're likely to have a result from that.
Chair, we're working with the University of Ulster, and indeed they did a presentation on that evening. We'll be looking at how to communicate the outcomes of that further with Council. We continue to work on them, looking at the impacts of things like Brexit, but also then what we need to do in the local economy, but we will be bringing that back on a regular basis to the ERT committee.
Okay. Item 7 then, minutes of the SPNR, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Ba and Patrick Brown.
Just to refer members to the addendum report regarding the issue that was discussed in terms of vocations. We're suggesting the amendment to it in terms for each of the DAAs identifying a site whereby the Book of Condolences will be opened. It's recommended from party reps meeting. So just going through that, Andrew, Chair.
Glenn?
Chair, just on the Book of Condolences, I know you've suggested Newcastle there for the Mourns one. The Mourns DAA is a huge one. I think I can tell Kilkeel should be included in that. Kilkeel Leisure Centre at the very least.
Could Jogan, sorry.
Chairperson, I was going to propose the minutes, but then I can't see where it was recorded that councillors had a consensus there ought to be a report with the management accounts explaining why the major variances occurred. If it is there, fine, I'll recommend the accounts for the minutes for adoption. If they're not, I think it needs to be amended.
Yes, Councillor, that is present as item SCNR 82-2017, and it was agreed that a report be brought back from each director on the performance of their directorate for the year, with Councillor Carr proposing, Councillor Enright seconding this proposal. That's present in the minutes.
My understanding of the meeting was that we felt that each set of management accounts should come with a variance report on the major variances contained therein.
Which it does currently, Councillor, and that will continue to happen. I think Councillor Carr had proposed a very specific item with regard to the year-end, because we had got into a debate around certain directors and their performance.
The year-end should be amongst that, yeah.
David?
Yeah, thanks, sir. Just a reference to the Greenway Phase 1 project nearly to Weir on Middle Bank. I and some other people have been down that on that route, and it's really exciting. I and other cyclists and walkers are particularly looking forward to the extension of that route and to linking up with our compatriots in Omeath and Carnford and Greenower, etc. I'm just wondering, how much are you able to give out? What is the overspend that's needed to complete the project, and how long will that take then? What will be the length of time that it take to oversee that and to have it completed?
There were a number of minor overspends on phase one of the project, which went to SPNR. We are now in the procurement process for phase two of the project, and until that procurement is concluded, wouldn't be able to say with certainty how long that would take. But certainly I can come back to you once that we've awarded that phase two of the contract and give you an up-to-date picture of how long we think that will take to conclusion.
Okay, folks, we need to have a proposing seconder for the addendum, 7.1 for the addendum to the Book of Condolences policy.
Sure, I'd second it. And second, I'd just like to welcome the addendum. I think it gives the community greater access to be able to express their condolences and access to books of condolences. I would like to thank the officers for going away and bringing back the recommendation of the 7 DAAs. And while Glenn says, you know, Kilkeen should be included, in its original format, it was only Dunpatrick and Newry, and it was myself that raised it, that I had concerns about this. But if you open it up, you know, to a wider degree, you're away into St. Fleet and Castle Welling, you know, where do you stop? You know, I think this is a good, fair proposal. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes, Glenn.
Chair, to be quite honest with you, I do honestly think though that Kilkeel should be included in this. With some of the major incidents that have taken place, they seem to have been around the Kilkeel fishing fleet and the incidents in there, and to be quite honest with you, Newcastle has very, very little links with Kilkeel. Might be in the same DEA, but that's as far as it goes.
I think, Chairman, if you take the original report, if there's an incident in a particular area which affects an individual area, we've agreed in the body of the report that we will open the Book of Condolences in that area. This is for more civic civic arrangements in terms of Book of Condolences. So if you look back in terms of the Paris attack, or in terms of Martin McGuinness, that's a Book of Condolences. If it's in a specific area, then we look at the Book of Condolences in that area. It's more in terms of having a civic approach to Books of Condolences as opposed to specific.
I think Glenn, I should say that whenever the Rescue 116, we did it in conjunction. Yes, and we did it in conjunction with them as well. In the Kilkeel Leisure Centre, so that would happen. Okay. Brian?
Yes, I would like to support Councillor Hannah, because I think Kilkeel, as a major town for our area, and quite a large junior population, they're feeling very left out
as they did in the old Mary and Moran Council. And I think anything we can do to keep people involved and keeping them feeling part of our council is only to be worked on.
So we need to. Who was it? Sorry, Charlie.
We're still in the AHC, Minnesota?
No, we never got that far. We're dealing with the Book of Condolences. So, first of all. Okay. So, we're going to take the Book of Condolences and add to propose and second it for the Compeal to be added into it.
As an amendment.
As an amendment.
Proposed by Professor
Hannah, second about. So, is everyone in agreement? I know.
So, just for clarification, Chairman, Councillor Hannah, as far as I understand, is proposing an amendment, seconded by Councillor Quinn, to add Kilkeel in to these list of this here. Once we've taken that amendment, then we'll put the substantive motion as in the report to the committee. If it's agreed, then that will the amended motion will put to the committee. But we need to get the amendment first, Chairman.
Sorry, Chairman, could I just get clarity on the two speakers that have made the amendment and the one who seconded it? There seemed to be some inference that there was an issue with members of the Protestant community going and signing a book of condolence in Newcastle.
No, I
didn't say you did. I said the seconder.
No, I said from the old legacy council, the people from that area don't think that they have the same allegiances to Newcastle.
It's a book of condolences, it's not about allegiances.
You're exactly what I'm saying, but I still maintain that should be on that topic.
Okay, so.
Just, Chair, could I say something? It's just a geographic delay. That is, Newcastle is a substantial distance from Kilkeel, and those elderly people in that area would not be fit to travel that distance. That's what I'm on. It's a very, very big DEA. That's what I'm on.
Okay, so we've got a proposal and seconder to add in Kilkeel. Can we have hands up to agree? Agree with the amendment? Against?
This amendment's lost. So you just put that.
Okay.
So. 78, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I thought it was 16, 17. Cast the bush of the channel.
Yeah.
17 each, yeah. Chairs, cast them both, yeah.
Second thing, we've got to do this now. I don't see any harm to put it in there, so, in Kilkeel. Because of the size of it, not for any other reason. So, there we go.
Yeah, and then put the main motion.
So then the main motion.
Could I add in Castle Island? We've allowed people there too. Sorry, I'm proposing that as an amendment.
Drummond, yes. I actually think it's quite flippant there, to be honest with you. This is a bit of condolences we're talking about. Right. So, then we will. So, all in favour then of having the Book of Condolences in the various areas. Can we?
The areas plus
Kilkeel. So. All in favour?
Oh, yeah.
Can you actually put your hands up, all those in favour of it? Against it?
18 again.
18 again?
18 again, yes.
So the book of condolences will be in.
It's back ready for consideration.
Okay.
For a new motion.
For a new motion. Okay, item 8.
Chair. Chair, just this was a recommendation come from the party reps meeting. This was agreed by the party reps. So it makes a bit of a call of the party reps. When that's agreed, and then it comes under the floor of the chamber, and then parties have a different position.
Yes, Michael.
Yes, Chair.
All right, folks, a bit of order.
I have to say, about Willie's comment, I do feel we've been told over and over and over and over again the party reps is not a decision-making body. And yet we come here and we're chastised for not agreeing with everything that comes from that meeting. I think we really need that maybe clarified, or take a look at exactly what the role is of party reps.
Right, Chair. As one of those who represents one of the parties on it, my understanding of it is that we get the minutes of what were the debate out to us, and then we then discuss it within our parties, and we bring it to the party leaders' meeting. And then, obviously, we're coming there with a position of our party, and when it's agreed, that's what I expect that all parties would have been doing on it. But it seems not.
Chair, sorry, could I ask, does this go back to SPNI then, for further discussion?
Yes, Chairman. I don't think it was discussed at SPNR. We were asked to go back and look at bringing options together. We brought the options to party reps for recommendation, but we don't have a decision, so we're back.
Listen, I understand this, and we could all have sympathy with Glenn's proposal, you know, and I was happy to support it, but I think it's a poor indictment of our council.
Can you please pay attention when there's actually other speakers here? All right?
I was very happy to support Glenn's proposal. There's no issue with it, you know. I suppose we could all find areas that we want to include, but I have to say it's a poor indictment of this council when we're sitting here tonight talking about book condolences and we can't even find some sort of agreement on it, where it has to be brought back. It's disgraceful, to be honest with you. I'm ashamed to say that. It really is disgraceful. It's a very poor indictment of us all, where we can't come to some sort of common ground on this. And it's only one additional area. It's not going to hurt us by including Kilkeel, I have to say. I don't really see why there should be such pettiness about it whenever it comes to this. There was no issue with including Kilkeel. And it's a very poor reflection of us all when we can't find an agreement on something like this here.
Okay. Item 8, Minister of the Active and Healthy Community, meeting, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Manager Eisen, Charlie.
Aye, thanks, Chair. It's on page 4, the expression of interest regarding the Eastern Council land. A couple of people have come to me to have maybe horses or ponies in that. They're just looking for who the go-to person is, and I see Conor Hockey's name on the report. Which directorship is that under? So is it maybe
Michael Lipset. That's the director under the Active and Happy Communities.
That's right. And I can. Yep. Is that process closed? Is there still an option for people even now at the state stage to actually see is there any land available?
Yes, Chair. It doesn't close, so it's open all year round, so they can apply at any time. It depends on the land. Different departments are responsible for different areas of land. ERT, for example, would be responsible for Kilbroney, and I'd be responsible for sports pitches and so on. But if they want to come to AHC, to either me or Conor Hockey directly in the first instance, then we can, if it's not our department, we can point them in the right direction. So I would suggest to go to Conor Hockey in the first instance. All right.
Pete?
Chair, thanks. Yeah, Michael, I just want to get clarification on the budget for the community trials and how far does it take us. I had asked, you know, in that meeting, does it cover detailed evaluations? As it was outlined in the meeting, that it was 130 days work that it would cover, and it included in the tax detailed evaluations, but it was a bit ambiguous whether that would be covered or not.
Chair, at the committee meeting, I undertook to talk to Marie about exactly the budget reprovision that was in her department. I haven't done that yet. It was my intention to bring a report back to the next AFC meeting. If you want a quicker answer on that, I can certainly talk to Marie after this meeting and we'll confirm it to you.
Mark?
Yeah, again, Michael, when we had the presentation to council, I brought up about the amount of trails that had been missed in the Slieve Croob area, particularly around the mountain itself. As part of this consultation, going to look at those additional trails and consult with the people. I know when local people had asked why there wasn't a consultation process in Drumara, they were told that because it wasn't in the council area, but of course they could have taken it to Finnis, which is now a council area. And also, as part of the community trails, as a cyclist, I use an app called Strava, which would give segments, which will show areas where trails that people commonly use for cycling and running. So I know some other councils have started to put start points, markers for start points for these trails. I think it would be beneficial if we looked at doing that that is something that's widely used by the community.
Okay, Chair. Short answer to that is yes. We will absolutely be including those issues that you discussed in the next round of consultation. There will be more consultation. We will be consulting widely throughout the DEAs, but we'll be going to the DEA forums, and hopefully things like locations for consultation events and all can be picked up there. But this next stage, which will be initiated 5 days after the call-in period, assuming the council's happy for Sean to the next stage, once we initiate that, we'll certainly be coming to the DEA forums and be talking about consultation and how we should carry that out. So I hope that covers it, Chair.
Terry?
Thanks very much, Chair. Just in relation to the affordable warmth scheme, has there been any further correspondence received in relation to this scheme? Because I know it's around the month of May, but it won't be long when it's way around to autumn time and winter, whenever people that would be in most need of help through the affordable scheme would be, as I said, if there's any update on that, they'll be more grateful.
Thank you, Chair. No, there hasn't been any further communication. I would have to say that given the current situation of the executive and the budgetary situation, I wouldn't expect the position to change. There will be that level of reduction. But certainly, again, once this minute's ratified and the call-in period's passed, we will certainly be chasing up on it as we were asked to do.
Okay. I have 9 minutes authority S from the 19th of April. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Proposed. Terry, seconded. Gary, any matters arising? Yes, Charlie.
Did we get over the issue concerning the bulky lift and catch up on the backlog, because people had paid their money and weren't getting the service within a very reasonable time? Some of the people who complained to me, I'm sure other councils have got similar complaints, were waiting 8, 9, 10 weeks.
Yeah. Cameron?
Chair, is my understanding of that has been addressed. I don't know if it's been completely addressed, but I do believe Joe Parks was in contact with Councillor Casey about a couple of particular cases, and I believe they have been resolved.
Go ahead.
Yes, it was just really on the planning figures. Unless in there, we don't really discuss that planning meeting. That's why I bring it, discuss it here for me. Just to welcome, certainly the processing times reduced from an up 32 weeks to 23 all over. But we still have a long way to go, and that's so just ask. No, Canis might be leaving us, but certainly that needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, the live applications apparently are starting to rise again. over matters of recruitment, I think, and maternity leave and the process there. So we don't want to be losing grip of this. And the number of applications, as we see the economy start to improve, are coming in and are rising at 8 to 10%. So I would just put an appeal there to, at the end of the day, proceed with haste in terms of recruitment and maybe even look at, you know, the permanent number of permanent staff. I know we did, I think, let people go or short contracts, but I think, you know, the figures prove that Newry, Moore and Down has got, I guess, only the second highest, the second to Belfast in terms of number of applications coming in. And I do think we'll probably need a strong permanent staff there to deal with this because, you know, we give a guarantee, or at least a hope, way back when we took over planning that we'd be one of the most proactive councils in terms of reducing the time from an application to a decision. So I'd like to take that aboard for the next meeting, okay?
Chair, it certainly is the case that we did bring in additional staff to help us crack the backlog, as it were, and that is cracked. It's not gone away, but it has been significantly reduced. We also stood down the local development plan team to work on the development management, and they are now back working on the development plan. So the number of staff immediately available to do a development application has reduced. However, we've recently checked through the actual headcount entitlement, the transfer headcount, and a number of them are working reduced hours. And if we take together the, you know, the people that are working 2 days and 3 days, we actually managed to find 1.8 staff that in theory are in the headcount but in reality aren't there. So we have just begun a recruitment process for a further two staff, so we will increase the staff numbers fairly shortly again, and again that should help matters significantly.
Mark?
Yeah, thank you. Kind of Macadrow Old Graveyard. I'd like to welcome that the council is going to look after the maintenance of the graveyard itself and keeping the ivy under control. The laneway leading to it, have we made any progress on the ownership of it, or can the council actually maintain that laneway? There's no point having the graveyard looking well if we can't get access to it.
Chair, I'd have to check. Sometimes we looked at that. I know we did look at it. I'm reasonably confident that we do not own the lane leading to it, but I'll check and get back to you directly on that. But I'm fairly comfortable that we don't own the lane and therefore would not have responsibility for its maintenance.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I believe we don't own the lane, but can we maintain it? Can we cut the grass and the hedges? Because there seems to be some ambiguity on who owns the lane. I don't think anyone is actually looking after it.
I guess there'd have to be a decision of councils. I mean, there are a number of areas that don't belong to council that we do maintain at the request of council. And you'll perhaps remember a number of months ago there was concern about that because there was something like £90,000 worth of work being done every year that was nothing to do with the council. And there was serious concern about that. This would be continued to add to that. But, I mean, if that's the direction of council, then we'll certainly find a way of doing it. But there'll be additional costs.
Yeah, I think the £90,000, was that not supposed to be work that should have been billed to road service that we were looking after, ground belonging to them, where this is an access to something that belongs to us and the public should have access to? Is that something we can make a proposal on tonight, that we maintain that, or do we need to do a bit of work on it?
I guess I wouldn't be in a position to tell you what the cost would be associated with maintaining it, so the proposal would be perhaps dangerous. Maybe if we put it on the agenda for the next regulatory and technical, in the meantime, Kevin can do some work to put an actual cost on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Michael?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. It's just reference the 721 enforcement cases, and I'm wondering, Have any of them been completed? Has anyone ever been prosecuted, for the want of a better term, or brought the full distance out of these 721? It's an enormous amount of, well, illegal planning or illegal building. I'm just wondering where it is and what sort of a resource is being put towards the 721 cases.
Chairman, we took over the planning department from central government, there was just slightly over 600 enforcement cases were transferred to us, live enforcement cases, and there were four enforcement staff. That number is not adequate and appropriate to do the work required. We since have, with council permission, recruited two additional staff, so the enforcement team has recently grown to six. As a consequence, perversely, the number of enforcement cases have gone up because they go out and they inspect and then they put an enforcement case in place. But those are now rapidly beginning to disappear again. And the other thing that happens when you start enforcement is that you very typically then get an application sent in, which increases the number of applications, but it also increases the income. So it will shortly begin to work in our favour. But with respect to whether anyone has ever been brought all the way to court, yes is the answer, but I couldn't give you the numbers without going back and doing some research on it. But what inevitably happens is the enforcement case is settled by the person legitimising the incorrect building or entryway or whatever they've set up by putting in a proper application, which is then approved.
And I think that's part of the problem. That's part of what causes me problems. That the answer to all enforcement cases is really stick in an application, and they're not going near you until it's dealt with. And even when it goes right through that whole process, and that's why I'm asking: are any of them 721? Are any of them have any of them gone to, for example, court, or has action been taken against anybody deliberately building without planning permission?
I'll have to come back to you with detail on that because I'm not aware of specific items on there, but I will find out and come back to you.
Charlie?
Thank you, Chair. My concern is about the outworkings of the Planning Committee on the day. I'm on the Planning Committee, as you know, and there are difficult decisions to be made. But it was pointed out to me by a member of the general public who had no real interest in any case, but just there purely to observe the outworkings of the thing. That person's concern was, I don't want to fear us and them attitude towards ourselves and people who sit at the back of the room and agents and their people like that. There is an area set aside outside for them to get tea and coffee and that and refreshments in the event of a comfort break. But it was pointed out to me by this person that some of the agents were actually up mingling with councillors at the table. You know, the councillors were able to avail of tea and coffee and that, and he thought that that wasn't a good situation and seemed to be very compromising of, you know, some councillors who are forced to make decisions on cases that, you know, can be life-changing sometimes. So it's something I think that needs to be addressed and looked at, the fact that people from the back of the room, agents and applicants are up mingling with councillors in that general area, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen because I think it could cause us some difficulties. Thank you, Chair.
Just the point that Charlie's making is in regards to, you know, when you have your comfort break or whatever, a number of agents maybe make their way up into their zone for the planning committee and officers, you know, so it's maybe need to look at maybe just putting some sort of chain type barrier, like a, you know, an area out of bounds for members of the public. I think that might deal with that situation. I suppose on the broader issue, and Councillor Cates is correct, you know, we have to be clear that there is no communication with the agents and architects and applicants and objectors on the day, and that all the proceedings, you know, has to be in that transparent way. And I'd just like to emphasise that again as the Chair of the Committee, that we have to continue to keep that in mind. The public are watching on a continual basis how the Planning Committee is operating, and we have to be consistent in our approach. At every planning meeting, we have to be consistent in our approach. So I think everybody just needs to bear that in mind. And it just generally happens around the comfort breaks. When we take the comfort breaks, agents see it as an opportunity to talk to members of the Planning Committee. I think the members of the Planning Committee have to say, listen, we can't have a conversation. But members just need to bear that in mind.
Okay. Item 10, the organisation of the rally to support the delivery of vaccines and emergency services at Dizzy Hill.
Chairman, my paper is there included. I suppose this comes really from a conversation I had with yourself, Chairman, and also a discussion we had at party reps last week with the leaders of each of the parties. And I was asked to put together a paper based on the discussion of the party reps, which I've put here. So basically, it's really tied in, and I know it's connected with other items in the agenda, both correspondence and in terms of those motions going forward. But it's to look at the organisation of a rally which came out of the meeting that was held in the Canal Court last Monday night,
We're looking at an event on the 13th of May 2017. We've been doing some work as officers to try and find a facility. We've identified what we believe is a facility is the Albert Basin, which we are currently doing preparation. I have a meeting organised tomorrow with the party representatives to discuss it further following the agreement tonight. It will be held at 11 o'clock in the Albert Basin site. And again, we're following that up with our insurers to ensure proper insurance out there as well. Second point is really that, you know, that members need to agree the funding for this year. Again, it isn't being budgeted for. And again, but we will need to agree to spend the money as required to make the different arrangement in terms of organisation, overtime, etc. onto it. So again, Chairman, I'm looking for his agreement to hold a public rally because as a decision of council for people to voice their support and support of Daisy Hill as an emergency services and to enable the party representatives forum to oversee the organisation of the rally, given that we don't have enough time and that we need to have all political parties involved. So, Chairman, that's the recommendation.
Okay, Billing.
Chair, I welcome this paper and I would propose the officers' recommendations because I do believe that it is a worthwhile exercise. And hopefully further down the line, if we're maybe up in this end, I'm going to bring people onto the streets again like we did in the past for the Down Hospital. The council always also supports it. Because I believe bringing people power out does work at times. People power got us the new Down Hospital over the years when people like the late Eddie McGrady and Enoch Powell and that brought people onto the streets of Downpatrick. That actually focused minds then, so it did. Unfortunately, I was the last chair of Down District Council when 20,000 people were brought onto the streets of Downpatrick in relation to our accident and emergency. Unfortunately, it fell on deaf ears. And I just hope that whatever happens at Stormont in the coming weeks, that it's not civil servants that's dealing with this or direct rule ministers, because I believe it will also fall on deaf ears. But I totally support the concept of bringing people out on the street to demonstrate in relation to accident and emergency services and whatever other services is going to be stripped from Daisy Hill, because between Daisy Hill and the Down, we seem to be rich pickings in this area, so we do, in relation to health. So I would second the proposal, and hopefully further down the line, if we're ever bringing them onto the streets again and down public, that this council supports that as well.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Billy, you proposed it then, you seconded it.
Which is I proposed it.
Well, obviously I seconded it, Chairman. Just to say that we've just got emails from our press department that the health trust have actually released a statement just in the last while, and it seems that the people power actually has made a difference. The if I just read, if you don't mind, sure, I'll just read.
No, that's okay. My call for the meeting I had this morning.
Right. For council working together. The trust remains fully committed to delivering safe, sustainable 24-hour emergency services at Daisy Hill Hospital for the foreseeable future. We now have the concerted support from across the health and social care system to develop a viable plan that will address the immediate pressures and look to stabilise the provision of emergency services at Daisy Hill. The immediate pressure on emergency services in Daisy Hill is further evidence that we need for the transformation in the provision of health and social care and the future planning of those services. All attendees at the summit agreed with the department that in light of the clinical need, the current size and the projected growth of the population of Nerey and Mourne, acute services need to be retained there, and we need to work on achieving that regional approach in a safe and sustainable way. That's just some of it, but I think, Chair, what maybe we need to do is whatever our plans are as a council to have our rally and our set our committee up, what we have to remember is that they were prepared to sacrifice Daisy Hill a number of weeks ago, and now because of the pressure of the people from the area, they've backtracked on it. But I think we need to keep the pressure on them, and I think it's more important than ever that we have our rally and we set up our committee and we make sure that they don't backtrack on what they've said today. So
okay.
It's welcome news, Chair.
Yep, indeed. Pushing?
Yep. Chair, I'd also like to welcome that news. I mean,
we have all seen that there has been a concerted, I'm not going to say a desire, but in deference to maintaining the services in Daisy Hill, I know a number of people had contacted us regarding the stroke services, and when they were going to be moved to Craigavon, you know, obviously the consideration was that any would be operational in Daisy Hill for anybody in that area that needed the immediate treatment in that sort of golden hour of that's open to them. But We it's quite clear that the Trust had a lack of interest in Daisy Hill, and they were focusing all of their time and energies and indeed resources on Craigavon. I know certainly Connor Murphy and Megan Fearn actually met with Mr McKibben, the head of the civil service, last Monday, and made it absolutely abundantly clear that this was not an issue where they were saying we have lack of money. It was poor management, and they said in no uncertain circumstances that he needed, as head of civil service, to intervene, and I'm very glad that he has chosen to do so and that that summit has taken place. It's a good news story for the minute, but now it's up to all of us to ensure that that work continues and that the services are indeed maintained. But I would congratulate everyone for their work so far.
Gary?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to say, certainly, I think, you know, the people have spoken, and I mean, there's genuine, very, very genuine concern out there about Daisy Hill, and certainly it's good to see that things have moved on in a positive direction. But again, it's good. I think this council needs to speak with one voice on this issue. So certainly, I think, you know, it was yourself, Chair, who initially put the proposal last Monday. I think that it's a good initiative, and certainly we should get behind you, Chair, and say, very much voice our positive support for Daisy Hill. Thank you.
Thank you. David?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Sure. I was at two meetings concerning Daisy Hill last Monday, the meeting in the hotel, and then the following meeting on Thursday in Craigavon. You know, and the anger of the people and the frustration of the people was palpable. People were just out on the street in hundreds, and really frustrated that the Trust wasn't listening to their concerns. And the Trust seemed to, by stealth, try to belittle and take away from Daisy Hill and from the excellent services provided by that hospital and by the staff in that hospital. It's good news tonight, but as Roisin mentioned, it's good for the time being. There's people behind us here from the Down Patrick area representing the Down district, and they know to harsh experiences of themselves that they brought out thousands upon thousands of people on the streets of this town, and still those voices weren't listened to. And we're going to have to ensure that that doesn't repeat itself in Newry. The service we have in Newry is far, far too valuable. The jobs that are provided, the great service given to the general public, these are things that we lose them forever. I would just recommend to the council that we work all out now towards the 13th of May and really make it a very successful day for all the people of our district. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Terry?
Thanks so much, Chair. Alan, I say this news is more or less welcome. You know, I say over the past few years since I was elected to council in 2011, we've heard these type of words before, even coming in at Christmas to give the people of the Down a nice Christmas present, you know, making sure the newspapers and everything was on holiday. But however, I say we've heard these words before, and probably people would say tell you a bit of a pessimist or a bit cynical, but just the way I am. But at the end of the day, I say the 13th of May, whenever we're going to have our protest in Newry, it's time for people to stand up and be counted, to get out in their droves and out in their numbers, to send a message to the powers that be that to keep Daisy Hill open. And at the same time, as well as Daisy Hill, we are behind Daisy Hill, but we must keep our eye on the ball with Down Patrick, with the Down Hospital, and with a multi-million-pound new hospital sitting over there, and large parts of it are mothballed. And at the same time, maybe we can get out to pound the streets of Down Patrick again. But irrespective of that, they're Newry and Down Patrick, we're in it together. We're going to send a message out loud and clear, hands off our hospitals and hands off our A&Es, and let's keep them open. So, as I say, just to reassure that we're behind you all 110%.
Thank you, Terry Glynn.
Chair, just on this, I would like to support it as well. It's coming from one of the more isolated areas, Kilkeel, Wolves, but they're very isolated and mourn. There was one lady there last week there, she fell at the clothesline and broke her two wrists. And she rang me, she said she did a few days later, and she says, she did not know how South Down, South Armagh, and that this area would do without Neary's accident emergency, because it was absolutely bunged with people, so it was. And the staff, to be quite honest with you, she said that you couldn't have had better. She's on the mend now, thankfully. But just on that, there, I would like to support it there. And to be quite honest with you, I'm delighted to see the council taking a lead on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Okay. So, pardon. Oh, sorry, you didn't say that.
Thank you. Chairperson, I attended earlier the small protest where Margaret Ritchie and Colin McGrath and others were outside the council there this evening. And I was talking to Colin McGrath, and he confirmed to me his impression of the last meeting he was at, where for the second time we corrected the minutes of the meeting to discuss the hospital committees, in which we firmly ruled out the possibility that there would be task and finish committees, and that there would be ongoing proactive committees, one for each hospital. And this once again flags up the importance of this. Now, Colin did say he'd talked to his party colleagues about this, in order to restore the original non-task and finish committees, in which we proactively work with the community and community representatives to build resources at our local hospitals in the way we used to do in Down District. Now, I'm hoping that he will do that after this meeting, and we'll come back again and look at the corrected minutes, which I have sent to Gareth Chauvin, but unfortunately he's not here today. We'll pick that up again at a future meeting. Thank you.
Okay, the party reps are meeting in the morning, and then we'll have information out to everyone else about management or whatever. Okay. Item 11, correspondence received from the Housing Council. Just for noting, or Liam? No?
Chairman, just to report on our Housing Council member.
Okay. Celebrating women in Northern Ireland. Nana Earn, 2017. It's conference dates the 19th and 20th of May. It's £180. Anyone wants to go to it?
No, not
Euro.
We need to get a chairman to take a decision to send somebody to it. Or
we can't.
We try to propose to send or us present vendors to go to. We play good substantial.
Chairman, we need a budget for it. It's £180. We need a budget for what we're going to spend.
Ah, yes, to propose a budget. Well, many people there.
Yeah.
£500 worth.
So can anyone let us know if they want to? If they want to let their party reps know, their group leaders, by tomorrow morning, and if anybody does, we'll have a discussion then at party reps in the morning. Is that okay? Or are we just going to have another wee chat at the back?
Sure. I'm happy.
You'll hardly be going, happy. Glenn, Hannah, Glenn, Harry, or Billy. I'm just saying, you three not the goal on this. Yes,
Arlene's going soon. Maybe safer to go.
Chair, I think it'd be important that you know that there's a lady councillor from each party, where possible, goes and represents the council. That would give us, you know, that would give us.
Is that a proposal, Willie?
It'll give us three councillors. I make that a proposal.
Sure, can I just suggest that we do what you did? You know, if we have a chat about among ourselves, if there are people that want to go, we can bring it forward tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. So if you want to go, let your party reps, group leaders know, and then we'll have a chat tomorrow morning about it.
Just delegate it as a party.
All right. So, item 13, the Battle of Mesny Centenary Pilgrimage, the Psalm Association.
Chairman, this is normally the representatives on the Psalm Association who is agreed of this year will attend the event on the 6th of June, because we need to book flights and stuff like that there now, Chairman.
Yes, Glenn.
Yeah, I would like to propose Gareth Craig to go on that.
I'd like to propose Robert Burgess as well. So.
Okay.
What did you say, Charlie?
Okay, that's great then.
Alright, okay. Okay. So, item 14 then. Invitation received from the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade to the commemoration marking at the centenary of the Battle of Mesnay Ridge, 7th of June 2017.
If I'm reading it right, it's the same event.
No, they're two separate events.
At the same event,
yeah. One's an event organised by the Irish and British governments. The other is a SAM Association event, of which our SAM representatives are their nominees attend.
I was just going to suggest that we're already sending two out for one of the events, then the same two representatives of the other event, then.
That would be quite good, because it said here that the transport to the event supplied by the organised cost to be covered. Is that us, or is that them? Because the price isn't confirmed yet, so...
Cost be by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want.
So it's point 10 and 4 then.
So Chairman, are we content then that we say that the Councillor Craig and Councillor Burgess will be right back and say that they are our nominees to attend to that there? Give them. That would have enough, Chairman? Yeah. Okay. Right.
You'll enjoy yourself, Robert Burgess. Okay, item 15. Correspondence received from the Permanent Secretary and HSC Chief Executive regarding Orkambi.
Chairman, this follows on from a notice of motion of Council. So.
Okay. 16. Correspondence from NAO regarding Tony Taylor, copy attached.
Hi, Chair. As the Councillor brought this matter up in the first place, this really is a ridiculous letter. I mean, we should send this off to some GCSE class and ask them to try to decipher all the hidden meanings and depth of knowledge that there is there. What they say is, parole hearings are private hearings which are not open to the public, and the material generated and relied upon is not made public. Information about the proceedings and the names of the persons concerned in the proceedings shall not be made public. Further, given the open statement contains sensitive personal data, we consider the disclosure of the statement to you would not be compliance with our data protection operations. So the sublime message being sent out here by the British government and their officials is abide by our wishes, abide by our rules, abide by our policies, or else we'll throw you back in jail without giving any reasons or facts pertaining to your case. Tony Taylor has been made a scapegoat, and so is he, his family and friends, and the community in Derry who are suffering as a result. I think it's just a disgraceful letter and deserves to be treated with the contempt of it. It's required. Thank you.
Charlie?
Yeah, I agree with Councillor David Heidler. As a former POW myself, I know only too well the conditions some of the boys have to live under. And I would go even further to say that Tony Taylor should be released as soon as possible, and we should scrap that and send a letter back to say that we're not satisfied with the response from the Northern Ireland Office, wherever they are.
Sorry, Billy Walker,
Chair, I would totally contradict what the previous two speakers have said. I, for one, was one that was opposed to this motion coming to this council. So was my party, because Tony Taylor has nothing to do with Newry Moran and Down, and I don't think it should ever have been brought to this council. Now, I do know, going by the press this morning, that Tony Taylor was supposed to be up for a bail hearing today, so I don't know how that went. You know, if he's still locked up, that's up to authorities. I don't know where he's out or not, but this council shouldn't be debating motions like this when it doesn't concern. Yes, if Tony Taylor had to live in Newry, Kilkeel, Killalea, Arglass, or wherever, yes, it was maybe irrelevant, but it wasn't and never was irrelevant to this council.
Okay, Glenn?
Chair, I would agree with Councillor Walker. To be quite honest with you, this is a total and utter waste of time. It's nothing to do with us whatsoever. If that guy hadn't breached his parole in terms of his license, for what a bit of a way, he wouldn't be in jail, say, he wouldn't. He's done something wrong, he deserves to be there, say this, so I have no sympathy for him whatsoever.
Okay, Patrick Brown.
I concur with councillors. I concur with councillors Walker and Hannes. Not often I get to say that, boys, but I do not think we should be continuing this matter any further. It is not relevant to our council. We shouldn't be sending any sort of reply. This is a rule of law issue. It should be dealt with by the courts. It's probably a human rights issue, and it's not an early morning down issue.
David, Chair,
I want to note my objection and the objections of my party colleague regarding any form of letter going from this council. Whenever this motion was first discussed at council, we objected to it. In fact, I did question under what standing order it was even accepted, and I didn't receive a satisfactory answer on that evening. And I still don't think we should be discussing it even here tonight. So I certainly won't be supporting any correspondence going forward from this council. It shouldn't have been debated here in the first place, and we should have no further involvement in this. It is a matter of law and should be dealt with in that respect accordingly. So you know, I certainly won't be supporting any request that there is here at the moment for a letter to go forward to the NIO.
Okay.
Sure. I just finish up this by responding to that. I mean, it doesn't really surprise me that the unionist parties would be blocking this, but I'm surprised to hear a so-called Liberal Party like the Alliance Party being so totally opposed to humanitarian rights.
Sort of rule of law party.
Sorry, I didn't cut in on you. Opposed to humanitarian rights, opposed to the rights of Tony Taylor and his family and friends, and no evidence. Like Councillor Hannes said, you know, he broke his license, but where's the evidence? What is the evidence? The evidence, usually I'm sure there is evidence, but I mean, there is no evidence, and they haven't been provided. So how do we judge what has been broken and what hasn't been broken when the evidence isn't there? That's all the point. The reason why I got involved in this case was that I was contacted by his family. He mightn't live in the Newry area, but he is from the north of Ireland. And if anybody was being dealt with in the same way that he is, I certainly would involve myself in their cases and fight their corner. Thank you.
Charlie.
Yeah, whatever information they do have on Tony Taylor, the reasons for him breaking his parole is contained in the bottom paragraph there, or whatever they have. They're not telling anybody about it. That's the issue. I mean, that's a human rights issue. If they have evidence, let's see what the evidence is. And my proposal stands, and Councillor David Hyland has seconded it. So let's send that letter. Let's vote to send that letter.
Okay, so
Chair, I don't know where this is going, because it's very polarised, almost on a sectarian basis. I'm not in a position to sit here and act as a juror. I mean, I haven't heard the evidence, or that, you know, I don't think the council, I mean, I am concerned that if I hear that this is now part of a Councillor Walker sent to information, say there's a hearing ongoing at the moment. So that would concern me that we start writing prejudge the thing and say, look, for the getting released. We've made for once a little while back this thing from day one and said, look, if there's no evidence against this guy, certainly that evidence needs to be put out there. And, you know, and you cannot, keep someone in jail without evidence, without presenting that evidence in public. So at the miniature, I suppose, I don't think we can then say, look, if there is a process at the moment, I don't think we can call for his release. I certainly would call for whatever evidence they have against the individual should be made public. Thank you.
Okay, so all those in favour of sending the letter? All those in favour of sending the letter? They want more details. Sorry, David.
Let me try with Peter.
David put Charlie. Okay, sorry, Charlie.
No, I said Tony Taylor should be released. I didn't care that the council should send a letter to the NIO to say they should be released. He should be released anyway, regardless. But I'm saying you send a letter that we're not happy to come into this stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So all those in favour of sending that letter that we're not happy with the content of the letter?
I think we can support that, sure, yeah.
Both in the chair. Thank you.
Against? Abstentions? The letter is here. Okay, 18 correspondence received from Southern Health and Social Care Trust regarding the potential close of the emergency department of Daisy Hill. Okay. Item.
That's following on from the last meeting. Number 17.
Way ahead of myself here. 17 correspondence from the Department for Infrastructure regarding the motion on churches, church halls, and places of worship being exempt from planning fees. Okay.
Chairman, this piece of correspondence is found today. I see there the last letter says this discussed a council strategic manuscript, and I understand some councils were intending to give them further consideration to the scope of this, and we're going to follow that up on what that means. But again, the department's quite clear that churches are excluded.
Glenn,
Chair, I find it very disappointing, to be quite honest with you. Churches do play a significant role in the community. If a wee bit more clarification could be sought, I'd be happy with that, Liam.
Okay. Item 19, the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service consultation on draft. Northern Ireland Fire. Correspondence from the Southern Health and Social Care Trust regarding the potential closure of the emergency department at Daisy Hill. Okay. Yep. 19, Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Services consultation on draft. Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service security policy.